Today, this message is about dependence. Mm-hmm. We are, maybe we're independent from England, but we're not independent from the true King.
Yeah.
And so I hope that in these verses we will recognize our dependence on God, and then I've got some things that we should do about it. We first of all, everything is dependent on God. God is our creator, and everything is maintained because of Him. In Hebrews 1, it says that Jesus is upholding all things by the word of His power. And when it says all things, it means everything. That, you know, both physical and spiritual, all life is maintained by Christ. Jesus is upholding it all. And then in Colossians it says, by Him all things consist. They consist as in they were created, but they also continue to exist because of Christ and His power. In Psalm 145, verse 15, it says, the eyes of all wait upon Thee, and Thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest Thy hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. So, it was talking about the creation, and the eyes of all are waiting on God. They're looking to Him for their sustenance. He's the one who feeds the animals and who clothes the lilies. And it says, when God opens His hand, He gives them the desire of every living thing. In Isaiah 40, verse 25, God says, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number, and He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth. So it says, look, lift your eyes up on high, and it's talking about the stars. Look up into heaven and see the stars, and it says that God bringeth out their host by number. Like He leads each of the stars out. God is the one that's maintaining and holding together even the physical creation, even the things that are so great like the stars. Without God, you know, everything ceases to exist. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't want to be behind the physical creation, the plants and the animals. They go to God and they recognize that God is their creator and God sustains them. And how much more God has given us the ability to reason and comprehend and understand. God is the one who sustains us.
Amen.
Paul in Acts 17 says, God that made the worlds and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things.
Amen.
See, the gods that these Athenians had were served by God, by men, and they were actually constructed by men and invented by man, and they were basically depending on the men. Their gods were. And Paul says that God, the true God, doesn't need anything. He's the one who gives life and breath and all things. And then in a couple verses down, it says, in Him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own poets have said, we are also His offspring. So live, our life comes from Him. Move, I think that speaks to every little movement that we make. It tells us how near God is and how much we need Him. Anytime we move, it's because in Him, and it also says, have our being, or we exist We can think because of God sustaining us. And that is just the plain existing, a way for us to stay alive and maintain ourselves in this world. God is there. But there's also much greater ways where we need God. And probably the most important one is to be able to come before God and be pleasing to God.
Yes.
In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him." So this brings up the thought of how do we become accepted before God? And the way we do it is faith. And faith means that it's not us, it's us believing in something else that makes us accepted before God. And Paul explains this in Galatians 2:19. "For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." I think a lot of times we hear this verse, but without that last one that I read, what he's talking about here is the law, that Galatians were trying to come to God with in the law, in their own works, as symbolized by circumcision. And Paul says that he's dead, and the only thing that gives him life is Christ living in him. Mm-hmm. And if we would try to come to God independent of him, independent of Christ, that's coming by the law, and that's saying that Christ didn't need to die, or the grace of God is not necessary. Christ is dead in vain.
Yes.
So it's important for when we think about needing God, it's not just needing God to live physically. It's needing God to come before, even before him.
Mm-hmm.
We live by Christ because Christ lives in us. In Malachi 3:3-4, it's prophesying about Christ, and it says, "He shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old and as in former years." So this one who comes to refine and purify is Christ, and he's the one who purifies us and makes our offering acceptable,
mm-hmm.
pleasant to the Lord. He makes it so we can offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from him, the offerings that we give are detestable to God.
Mm-hmm.
And we can see in the beginning of Malachi where the offerings that they were giving God did not want. They didn't make God any more pleased with the people. And so it is with us. Apart from our refiner purifying us and taking away our sins, we are not acceptable. God is not happy to see us come. He is not pleased with us. 1 Peter 2:5 says, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ."
Yes,
amen. So the offerings, the sacrifices that we offer as this holy priesthood are acceptable to God, but it's by Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If you take Jesus out of the picture at any point, our offerings are filthy rags.
Mm-hmm.
They're useless before God. And so we can think, you know, we know that God is pleased with us and God does love our sacrifices that we bring to him. But, boy, we can never start to think that that's because of us and because of what our sacrifices are. It's because they're acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, just as God maintains our physical life and without him, we are nothing, we would die, so God also maintains our spiritual life.
Yes.
Colossians 3:3 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." It says our life is hid with Christ in God. It's like our life, the eternal life we have right now, yes, we have it, but it's not in us. It's not in our possession. It's only in our possession to the extent that Christ is in our possession and that we are linked to him. It says God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. You can't get the life, you can't extract the life out of his Son and have it in yourself. It's always within Christ. Now, when we came to Christ, we've voluntarily given up all the life that it seemed like we have outside of Christ. So even what the world thinks that they own as part of their lives, that they think that they're independent and they can choose what they want, well, we've voluntarily actually given that up and really acknowledged that all of our life is Christ. We've died to, it says we are dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. So the reason we can't have life apart from Christ is because he's really the definition of life. Jesus prayed in John 17, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." So when we understand it like that, then it makes sense that we can't have life independent of Christ, because he's the very definition of life. And knowing God is life. So it only makes sense that we must be near Christ to have life. And then, when there is life, there's also fruit that comes. But once again, that is from Christ. John 15, verse 1. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Then he says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So the fruit is born on the branch, but all the power to bear the fruit comes from the vine. He said, "Without me, you can do nothing." It's you can't even coast for a while without the vine. It's the minute you're broken off the vine, it's the branch is dying. The branch has no more fruit bearing potential because it lost its life.
Right.
The sap, it's like the blood of the vine stops flowing through its veins. Yeah. You know, God, Jesus has changed us and made us new and made us God's children. So it's not that we are still opposing him and hating him and just when we're believing in him that now he forces us to have good fruit. No, he's made us want to do what's right. He's given us a new heart.
Amen.
But apart from Christ, there's no power to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, you know, with this example, branches are the same plant as the vine. They still have the same DNA as the vine, but once you disconnect from the source,
right,
then you lose it. So it's not that we're wicked and he's forcing us to do good things. He's made us good, but in the goodness is as we maintain the relationship with him. Isaiah 26:12, Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us, for thou also hast wrought all our works in us.
Yes,
so it's like God worked our works in us. Well, yeah, we did the works, but God worked them in us.
Uh-huh.
Psalm 127:1, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. So even our efforts, you know, our efforts are required, but apart from the Lord, our efforts really, they aren't inherently valuable. They're valuable in that it allows God to work through us. Now, when this becomes especially difficult is when it seems like things are going well. And I'm going to read from Deuteronomy 8, 11 through 19. But Moses is warning that when things are going well for him, don't forget that God is the only one who made this possible. Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Now just pause here. The word is forget.
Yeah.
And it's even maybe if you don't completely deny the Lord and say, I'm doing it all on my own. But if you forget that the Lord's doing it, that leads you down the wrong path.
Yes.
Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth out of the rock of water, out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee and he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. So they're in the wilderness every morning. It should have been obvious that they needed God. Now, these were unregenerate men, and it wasn't obvious to them. But I think it's easier to understand when you're in the wilderness and God is, you rely on God for your food in an obvious way. But then he says, when all this is past and you have all these things in the promised land, verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods to serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. And so, just as they depended on God in the wilderness, so they depended on God even when they were in the promised land.
Yes, amen.
And we never graduate from being supported and sustained by God. He's the one who gives us, even gives us power to get wealth. He, even if we work for something, it's God who gave us that ability. All right, so that was the facts that I presented. This is the way it is, that we are dependent on God for coming before Him for our spiritual life and for our for any fruit that we have is dependent on God. So then I have three responses that we should have. And the first one is to don't boast. 1 Corinthians 4:7. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? So do we have anything that we didn't receive? Well, all these verses have showed us that no, we don't have anything that we have created of ourselves. And therefore, it was a gift. And you don't boast about gifts. It's not your merit that earns you a gift. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a gift. Nebuchadnezzar can testify about this from Daniel 4:29. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and 7 times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. Fortunately, Nebuchadnezzar learned, though. It says, At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes to heaven, and mine understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And he goes on, and then they restored him his own kingdom. They went out and looked for him, found him in the field, and brought him back. I don't know how this happened, that 1 minute he was king, and it says the very same hour that it happened, that they kicked him out of the kingdom, and he was out in the fields eating grass. It is amazing. Now, no matter what insurance policies we have, God is smart enough to find a way to bring you down if you think you're doing it by your own power. Now, this was physical with Nebuchadnezzar, but God can do it spiritually too. He can humble us if we need to be humbled. So let's not go through all that. Let's humble ourselves now. Let's recognize that God has given us everything we have, and we're nothing without Him. Mm-hmm. Let's not make it go to extreme measures to give us the humility that is only appropriate.
Amen.
All right, the second thing that our response should be is that we should maintain this connection, this close connection to Christ, because He's our only source. We read the verses about the vine. Jesus said, Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. So that means keep close to Christ. Think about Christ. Study Christ.
Amen.
Praise Christ. Romans 11:18 is talking to the Gentiles, which would be the wild olive branch, and talking about how the native olive branch was broken off. But his advice to the Gentiles is, boast not against the branches. But if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. In other words, if you're going to boast, remember that you didn't send the root down. The root gave you your life. Yes. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. So this goes into the don't boast application as well. But if our branch is broken off, just as any other branches are broken off, we will die like them. We need to maintain a close connection to Christ, understand that we stand by faith. In other words, it's by us believing what Christ has done that gives us the ability to be attached to this, the root. Revelation 3:15, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And for some reason I don't have the following verses, but Jesus says, buy, come to me and buy gold and white raiment and eye salve. And coming to Christ is what's necessary. These people thought that they were rich. They thought that they had everything they needed, whether physically or spiritually. If you're not connected to Christ, you don't have everything you need.
Right.
And in this church, Jesus said that he was standing at the door. He was standing outside the door knocking because they had shut him out. They thought that they were independent of him. We got to go to Christ and receive the true riches. Okay, and then the third application is that we trust in him. When the disciples were out on the boat and Jesus came walking on the water, it said that Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? So Peter was doing something that it was obvious that he couldn't do, walking on the water. And God always calls us to do things that we can't do in our own strength, as we just got through saying that we can't do anything without the vine. But what Peter needed to remember is that it wasn't by his own strength. When Peter starts looking around and thinking, wow, I can't walk on water, especially not a stormy water, that's when he went wrong, because he stopped looking at Jesus. And when we're in distressing situations, we need to look to him. We need to recognize, wow, I can't overcome this on my own. And look to Christ.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. God's the one who makes us able to do what God asks us to do. And then I believe it was Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles 20. And their enemies were coming toward them. And he prays, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. So really, it can actually be comforting to know that we can't win on our own. It's not up to us to summon up the strength necessary to do everything that we need to do. We recognize that without the vine, we can't do it. And so we go to Christ and we ask him for grace to help us in our time of need. Of course, we still put forth effort. It takes our whole heart. But we don't feel the pressure that we have to do it all on our own, because we know we can't. Mm-hmm. We know that it's up to Christ, and God is the one who gives us the power to do what he asks us to do.
Amen.
So maybe we need to celebrate a Dependence Day. So does anybody have any comments or corrections to make?
One other verse in there. Philippians 2. I wrote it down somewhere in here. Philippians 2, 12 and following. He says, therefore, as you did in our presence and now much more in your absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
It really illustrates the need of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight, and not trying to muster up the strength to do what he calls us to do. It's just abiding in him and believing in him, trusting him. It's all about faith. Amen. If we have children, they grow up and they're dependent on us, but then there comes a day when they go out on their own and they're independent. But this doesn't happen with God. We are always dependent on him. We never grow out of that.
I like how you stressed that. Don't forget. It's so important that we always acknowledge that he's Lord.
Yeah.
Always keeping it foremost that we're dependent on.
Yeah, it seems like sometimes it's not even a conscious thought. Wow, well, I have done all these things as much as not a conscious thought that God is the one who did it.
We just don't stop to think. If we take the time to consider, we're like, yeah, of course they depend on God. But mm-hmm. We never stop to do that.
Yeah.
It's a different attitude. Okay, well, let's stand together.